Praise the Lord. Are the children going downstairs today? You have something for the kids today? Or? I don't know. Are there any kids here? Nobody brought kids today? Unless we've had like 20. We have Remy? Remy, you can handle the service today, right? Upstairs? You have something for them after church? Okay. If you're good, they do have a little blessing for the children. I believe we're going to, I'm sorry. Every time I say that, my wife says, you got to be sure. You got to be. I was going to say, I believe we're going to take the next few Sunday nights off just to get through the holidays. So, see, I'm a man of faith. I believe it, okay? So the next few Sunday nights, we might just take a little break and just to get through the holidays. People have family home, and you know, we want to be able to enjoy our families and get through the holidays and whatnot. And so
we just might take. Are we or aren't we?
Yes, we are. Okay. I believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe we're going to take Sunday night off for the next couple of weeks?
My question was, does the next few include
this week? This week starting. Okay. Let's clarify. We are not having church tonight, okay? And we're not having church next week in the night. We'll be here in the morning, though. All right? Is everybody clear on that? We got that? All right, Wednesday. Wednesday morning. Or not Wednesday morning. Now you got me all messed up. Half the time I don't know what I'm doing anyway. Wednesday morning we pray from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And we'll still do that, okay? Wednesday evening, that's where I was getting to, celebrate recovery. I'm going to ask all that will to come out and join us. We're going to do just a little get-together and some refreshments, bring a friend, bring some food, have a little dish to pass type thing. And we're going to enjoy Wednesday night kind of a little Christmassy, a little different, you know, for the celebrate recovery crowd, but please come if you can and just bring a little dish and we'll just share some time together. You know, as a church, we didn't really do a big Christmas party, but, you know, we can get together and just spend some time Wednesday evening in that kind of regard. So I'd appreciate all who could come out to come out for that. And amen. As we were singing, there's a couple of songs that just wowed me. We were singing, is that the one? Where'd it go? Okay, the first Noel. The line there said, to seek for a king with their was their intent. To seek for a king was their intent. One of the things that I've been saying often lately is we need to be intentional about what we do. If you want to grow spiritually, you need to take intentional steps to grow spiritually. My wife and I want to be more physically fit, so as of the first of the year, we're going to be more intentional about doing whatever it takes to be physically fit. Oh, Brother Vincent, we're willing to help. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know. But, you know, with their intent, they were seeking for a king. My question is, do we intentionally seek Jesus Christ each and every day? You know, all of you this morning, with intent, got up and came to church. Praise God. You didn't come here by accident. You chose to come here. Well, unless you're a kid and you got dragged along by your parents. But you know what? We need to continue with intent seeking our king. These were wise men from what the Bible tells us. I think it's a wise thing to intentionally seek Jesus Christ. And so that just kind of struck my heart. But the other thing was when we started singing, O Come All Ye Faithful, we got to that second verse that says, sing choirs of angels. And I'm telling you, wow, I don't know what you all guys felt, but something just ran through me like lightning bolts. It was just like God just showed up when we sang that particular verse. And I hope that you were blessed this morning by the Christmas hymns. They are what they are for me. I struggle with them. But may I tell you, when I got to that song, when I got to that verse, I praise God that he shows up in our services, don't you? And I just hope that this morning, if you haven't got that just spiritual wow yet throughout, you know, that somewhere through this morning before you leave this place, that he'll make his presence known to you the way that he did me as we were singing that one line. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk about the Christmas story. I'm just going to highlight a few things that pertain to it. As I said, we've been through this. I've been preaching here for starting my 11th year, which makes this the 11th Christmas message that I've preached. So if you look at my Bible between Matthew and Luke, the Christmas story, it's all highlighted and circled, and it's like, you know, I try to, you know, I don't like to repeat things. I like to, at times, you know, I always like to be fresh. I like the Holy Spirit to give me something new. Well, how many times can you preach through the Christmas story and find something new? But you can. Every time you read the Word of God, he gives you new revelation. He'll give you new insight. He'll bless you. And by the way, before I get started, I was just reminded, Mike Ruiz. Mike Ruiz is taking up donations for youth down in Ithaca. Is that correct? Is that what that's for? And what do you still need? Toothpaste, board games, one-by-one gift bags, and words of encouragement. And you want to deliver that when?
I am going to deliver.
On Wednesday. Okay. All right, listen, this is Christmas. What's the age group for these young men? What's the age range?
12 to 17 year olds.
Incarcerated, okay. How many know that kids 12 to 17 year old who have find themselves incarcerated need some words of encouragement, right? Before state prison, yeah. But it's Christmas time. How many know that 12 to 17 year olds would really enjoy something for Christmas, right? And so I want you to think about that. If you can put together some one-by-one gift bags, throw some words of encouragement in there, and some toothpaste, I heard you say you still need, you're lacking a little bit on toothpaste. If you can put that together and see that you can get to me with it, okay? If you don't have my phone number, then get it before you leave today. But let me know you have that stuff. I'll get it from you. And I'll get it to Mike before Wednesday so that he can bless them boys. Can we do that? Amen. Merry Christmas. Thank you. I'm counting on y'all, all right? Amen. Yeah, I told them. Board games. I forgot that part. Board games so that they're not bored.
Thank you.
When do you go there? Wednesdays? What time do you go there? Okay, so it's a in the evening type thing. So men, if you're interested in reaching out to the fatherless, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit here shortly, see Mike and he'll hook you up. There is ministry available. One of the things that I keep saying is that if we will make ourselves available for God to use us, he will use us. And there's an opportunity to be used by God. Yes, Rhonda? Excuse me? Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Rhonda's going to 40 gift bags? Thank you. Amen. So board games. Anybody got board games that we can send as well? Toothpaste and there was something else. Encouraging words. Encouraging words. You'll get toothpaste? Awesome. See how this works, Mike? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. I'd like everybody here to think of an encouraging word to send to his 12 or to 17-year-old boy. Write it down. Make sure that I get it by before Wednesday so I can get it in Mike's hands. Okay? Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. See how God works through his people? Make a need known, God's people should meet the need, right? Isn't that how it works? Well, there was a great need in the earth, and God gave a gift, the gift of his son, Jesus. And in Luke chapter 1, we're going to read a little bit about that, starting in verse 26. Let me pray first. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the gift that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, that these bags are going to be filled with toothpaste. And Lord, that these young men are going to be ministered to. But Lord, minister our hearts today. Open them wider so that we can fill it with more of you. Let us hear you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth. I saw a thing on the internet that said, how many know that Star Wars just came out again? Right? Did you go see it yet? My wife and I went and saw it the other day. But how many know the Star Wars thing? They always say, it always starts out in a long time ago in a far, far away galaxy. Right? I saw a church sign online that said, a long time ago, far, far away in a Galilee. Amen. Jesus came from, Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, and the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth... Okay, let's stop there. The Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Now, I want to point out something here. Where's my little clicker thing? In verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. You see, we're going to be talking about one of the greatest events that took place in all history. And that's the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, there's two events, and I was going to mention this at the end, but I'll mention it now. There's two events that took place on the earth that were different than all the other events that ever had taken place. First of all, Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. Everybody else on this earth was born, but only one was born from a virgin. That's Jesus Christ. Think about history of his birth. Prior to it, all the peoples of the earth, all the earth were anticipating the coming of a Savior. Well, at least the nation Israel was. And those who understood what Israel was all about and what God was all about, they anticipated his birth, and then he was born, and ever since then, the whole earth worldwide has been celebrating that birth. Because it's special. He's the only one ever born of a virgin. The second event that is celebrated worldwide is his resurrection from the dead. Now, there were other people that were resurrected from the dead. Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. You can read in the Old Testament where the prophets would go in and they raised a few people from the dead. But the thing that makes Jesus raising from the dead special is because he did it himself. And so I'm curious if that's the reason why all the world celebrates his birth, all the world at Easter time celebrates his resurrection. Those are very significant things. And anyone who is a doubter or a disbeliever really ought to think about, isn't this interesting? How can this not be true? Because the whole world celebrates his birth and the whole world celebrates his resurrection. Why would a whole world of people care about those two events if it weren't true? And so think about that. But the point that I want to make here, and it goes along with what we just mentioned, virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Isn't it interesting that God brought Jesus into the world? First of all, I like the idea that Jesus was born into the world. He came in the flesh. And one of the reasons I really like that is because you and I struggle to believe things that we can't see, don't we? It's so much easier to believe something that you can see, you can touch. It's right there in front of us because, you know, we live in this world of a physical world. We can see, we can feel, we can taste, we can hear. And so I'm so grateful that God sent Jesus in the form of a human. Perhaps he did it just so that it would be easier for the world to believe. Now, we didn't see him with our eyes, but you read this book, it's a history book. You know, you read your Bible, it's a history book. And there's four accounts in there of four people who walked and talked with him, who wrote down the account. Matthew and Luke, the two of them, wrote down what took place at the birth of Jesus Christ. And of course, there's other books out there. There are people who have tried to disprove the Bible, disprove what it says, and they have only found that the more they dig, the more evidence they find that it's true. But here's the thing. It's interesting that God sent Jesus and he made sure he had a father on this earth. You see, Mary didn't need a man to produce the son. God did that. She conceived of the Holy Ghost. But God knew that boy was going to need a father in his life. That's one of the reasons I brought up. I'm so glad Mike came in this morning and reminded me. As soon as I saw him, it reminded me. I want to mention that. Man, if you've got children that you're responsible for, be their father as best as you know how. If you got people in your life that don't have fathers, but you can have influence in their life, then be a father to that boy. They need it. That's one reason why Mike takes upon himself to go down to Ithaca and meet with these young men, 12 to 17 years old, who don't have fathers. Fatherhood is important to God. So important that he made sure that Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior of the world, had an earthly father. I think Joseph did a good job with him, don't you? I know we can, I didn't write the verse down, but we all know the story where Joseph and Mary, they take Jesus to the temple, right? They took their son to church. Isn't that a good thing? It's good. Take your boy to church. Let him hear the word preached. Let him find out what God is all about. Let him find out what Jesus is all about. Let him find out what sin and death and resurrection and salvation are all about. Fathers are important. And you know, not every father does it right. Not every father gets it right. That's why there's young men incarcerated. And some of us might think, oh, man, I don't know if I did it right. Or maybe we know, you know what? I didn't do it right. But it's never too late to start being a father to your children. And it's never too late to start promoting fatherhood to the kids around you, to the neighborhood around you. One of the things I do on Thursdays, I get together with other fathers. Fatherhood Connection, they call it, over at Seneca County. Hopefully we'll get one going somewhere around here or different. They want to get, you know, this particular meeting group, fathers getting together and talking about fatherhood in all the counties of New York State. I hope that works. I hope they manage to do that. Because it is so important. I think society is starting to realize, hey, you know what? When there's a father in these kids' life, they can look at the statistics. When there's a father in the kid's life, they do so much better than when there's not. And so I just want to encourage you, man, if you're a father, love your children. Be a father to those children. Lead them, raise them, guide them. And if you don't have any children of your own, or if you've raised all of yours and there's one that needs a father, then be that father. Look at what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That alone, visit the fatherless. Now it says also that widows, you know what? There are some lonely people in this world. It ought not be that we, how many want to live your life right in the eyes of God? I do. Pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit those children who don't have fathers and to visit the widows in their affliction and to remain unspotted from the world. Amen. Let's move on. Another thing I want to point out is this portion that we read already. Oh, we didn't get to verse 45. Verse 45 in Luke chapter 1 says what you see there. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. This is Elizabeth talking to Mary. You know, Mary finds out she's pregnant from the Holy Ghost. She goes and visits Elizabeth. Elizabeth happens to be the mother of John the Baptist. They happen to be cousins. And while they're there, Elizabeth says this to her, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she who believes. And blessed are you and I when we believe what we have been told by the Lord. What have we been told by the Lord? I've brought this verse up the last 3 weeks in a row. Blessed are we when we believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what we are told. And blessed are we when we believe it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them who diligently seek him. Where's your belief level anymore? Do we believe what we've been told? How do you know what you've been told? Read your Bible. It'll tell you. We've been told a lot of things in there. If we were in the Old Testament, we were told that God was going to save you, send a Savior for the world. But now we're in the New Testament, and we are told that Jesus is that Savior. Do you believe what you've been told? And then if you were to look at Luke chapter 1 and the rest of that verse, there's a song that Mary sings. After she was told, verse 47 or 46, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And then she sings a song just glorifying God, lifting him up. That's something I think we all should do. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. See, in Luke chapter 1, we're told what's going to happen. In Luke chapter 2, we're told what happens. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now, I didn't mention this. I don't have this in my notes, but just as I read that, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I find it really interesting that once you start talking to people about the Lord, how afraid they are to receive him. Isn't that interesting? I remember I was afraid. And you know, some of us, maybe we're afraid because we know what kind of people we are. Or maybe we're afraid because we don't know what to expect. Or maybe we're afraid because we already have an understanding that, gee, if I start to believe in this, Lord, I'm going to have to change my life. And that's scary. How many know it's scary? When you realize, oh my gosh, everything about me is going to change, that's a scary thing. And these guys were afraid when they saw the angel. Verse 10, let's read that again. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." I'm going to mention that again in a moment. Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now I trust everybody has read that story. If you have not read that story, and that's the first time you heard it, then God bless you. That's how Jesus came to the earth. And that's some of the events that took place while during that time. Could you imagine you're out in the field just watching the sheep, and all of a sudden the sky opens up and angels come and tell you about Jesus being born and how he's wrapped in swaddling clothes and he's laying in a manger. And next thing you know, the heavens open up even wider, and there's a host of angels there singing glory to God in the highest, goodwill and peace. Could you just imagine that? Most of us would probably go need a change of clothes after that. Just saying. But Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It's no wonder that the most joyful thing that anyone will ever experience is the understanding that Jesus Christ loves them and that he has come to save them. You know, we've heard this, that you've heard this, oh, that, you know, there's a void in your heart and the only thing that'll fit in there is God. Anybody heard that before? And we all try to shove other stuff in there, you know. We try to shove the things of the world in there, whether it's pleasures of all kinds or all sorts of stuff. We try to shove in there to fill that void so that we would find happiness and joy. But it's not until you truly ask God to come in and to fill your heart and to change your life that you actually receive that joy that is meant for all. Good tidings and great joy shall be to all people. If you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, I want to encourage you, open your heart a little more and let them all the way in. If you've got something, many of us, sometimes we have other things in there, and we only have this much, you know, we got this much room in our heart, but only this much we let Jesus in. Because in the rest of it, we got our cars, or we got our big TVs, or we got, you know, other people that we're infatuated with, all sorts of stuff. And then a lot of times we really mess up our lives and we shove alcohol and drugs and other things in there that don't belong in there. Because we're trying to find fulfillment. We're trying to find joy in this life. Well, it says right there that good tidings of great joy shall be to all people. And what is it that all people need to put in their heart in order to experience that? Jesus Christ and nothing else. The most joyful thing anyone will ever experience. There's a reason why the people, that when you go to a church like this, there's a reason why we play our instruments, why we sing our songs, why we clap our hands and we lift them up to the Lord. There's a reason for that. It's because he's given us great joy. He's put good things in our lives. Verse 17 says, "When he had seen him, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." What was it that they made known? That he was their Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And you know what? You and I, who have had an experience, have had been touched by God, we need to continue making it known that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He is Christ the Lord. Don't hide it. You know, for years and years, and I still believe this to some extent, you know, we've heard that, well, you know what, just live it in front of them, they'll figure it out. You know what, sometimes it's more than just living it in front of them. And I've said this even recently, you know, if I'm out witnessing to people and I see somebody who's hungry, I would be more faithful to that person if I gave them a sandwich versus just preaching at them. telling them about Jesus. You want to be faithful to God? Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the fatherless and the widows and all those things. But we need to make it known. You know why I'm feeding you this sandwich? Because I love God. Because God loves me and God loves you. And He wants me to feed you this sandwich because He wants you to know His love too. That's not a knuckle sandwich either. How many of you were kids? You had knuckle sandwiches. Remember those? Chapter 2, verse 11. There is born to you this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what they were told, and that's what they made known. They believed what they were told, and they were filled with praise to God. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Again, we should also be glorifying and praising God for the things that we have heard and the things that we have seen and the things that we've been told. Isn't it wonderful that God made sure? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard things from God in your heart? How many of you heard them? How many of you have seen things with your eyes that God has done? How many of you know that He's told you something? God has told you something, hasn't He? We need to make that known. And we need to be glorifying God and praising Him for the things that we've heard, the things that we've seen, and the things that we've been told. One of the greatest events that ever took place in the history of mankind, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. We're going to celebrate that this coming week with our families. How many have family members that perhaps don't know Jesus the way you know Jesus? Most of us, right? Let's make known the things that we have heard and seen and been told, and let's give glory to God for all of that and share His love with the others. Amen? I'm going to close the service this morning with a song from Meredith. She wasn't ready. She's getting her lipstick ready. Chapstick. Praise the Lord. What a gift you and I have been given. Glory to God in the highest. Sing praises to Him. Again, I thank God for an opportunity to share Christ's love. And so be thinking about those words of encouragement to get them to me so that we can share with these young men down in Ithaca. And I appreciate those who stepped up and said they would provide some of the needs. And for those who already have needed, by the way, let me just thank you for this as well. Operation Christmas Child, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. You know, this gift you've given me as pastor and all the other things, ringing the bell, those who went out and rang the bell, who enjoys that? Amen. Isn't that fun? Yes, it is. You know why it's fun? Because you get to interact with people. When you get to interact with people, it's just a wonderful thing. It's a joy. So thank you, all of you who went out and did that. We'll do it again next year. Matter of fact, there's still time. They're still ringing the bell this week, right up until, you know, so if you'd still like an opportunity to do that, excuse me, you can call the Salvation Army direct, say, look, you know, I would really love to ring the bell some more. And I'm sure they would have an opening for you. The temperature is going to rise again this week, so what a blessing it's been for those who've been ringing the bell, because I've seen years where it was like blizzard out there, but this year's been really nice. God has blessed them with good weather and good people. So praise the Lord. Merry Christmas, everyone.